And we return for yet another adventure in podcasting. It is the Hannibal Rivertown Review Podcast. I'm Harold Smith.
I'm Megan Rapp.
And we are back once again. Season 3, 2.0, call it what you will.
Episode 2.
Yes.
S3E2. Yeah, there you go.
That's it. That'll work. Yeah, whatever
makes
works.
Us sound like veterans here. Like we're in our third season now. This is old hat.
I mean, we have gotten, you know, we got an award from Podbean, which is our hosting site. But incidentally, that's one of the places you can go to find is podbean.com. And I talked about it many times before. I want to, being the old news guy, and say, you can find us here and here and here, but if you're listening, you've already found us.
You've already found us, but you can tell your friends that you can find us on what, Podbean?
We're on podbean.com. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on a site called TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. It was kind of cool for me here just not terribly long ago. I got an email from Amazon Music, and they came to us and said, would you like to be on our site? And I'm going, well, let me think. Yes.
Oh, I suppose Amazon.
If you insist.
I think I've heard of you. So
yeah, that company that, well, in my case, they, you know, our puppies look forward to that because they're the ones that deliver the dog food. Yeah. So, but anyhow, we are back in the saddle with brand new episodes, and we covered some stuff, and we're gonna kind of we talked a lot about the pandemic, and we'll
back away slowly from the plague and talk about some fun new things.
Absolutely, and that was some of the, you know, in spite of everything that took place, we have some new things in place. Some new festivals, some things have kind of shuffled. Some are at different times of the year than they once were, that kind of thing. But we are still, you know, we don't need a good excuse to throw a festival in Hannibal.
Oh my gosh, no, we are back to a good time every month. I mean, we have almost a major festival about every month, and most of them are annual. Obviously, we have, you know, one-off events, and those are great as well. But everything, you know, Folklife Festival, third weekend of October, Steampunk Festival over Labor Day, Twain on Main over Memorial Day, obviously Tom Sawyer Days over 4th of July.
Which we never had so many of the festivals. Some of them we had to take at least 1 year off for that. But by late June, early July of 2020, it looked like things were going to maybe get better. Mm-hmm. So they had a kind of a revised
Tom Sawyer
version
days.
Of Tom Sawyer mm-hmm. Days. So, yeah. Yep. And not only do we have festivals and extravaganzas and things like that, but we had our first Palooza this fall.
We did. Yes. We had Pumpkin Palooza.
Yes, we did.
And that was, you know, that was great. And I think that that's going to be an annual event as well. Mm-hmm. I think it will probably stay in early November. And that was just a celebration of all things fall, really. I mean, Pumpkin Palooza, they talked about it in terms of, you know, pumpkin spice. You know, think of like pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin spice cake and pumpkin spice muffins.
Pumpkin spice candles. Everything.
Everything.
Yes.
But you didn't have to be a lover of pumpkin spice to you know, enjoy the festivities.
Oh.
It was just a fun little fall celebration, you know, after you gotta love all the trick-or-treaters and all of the costumes and all of the yay for the kids and the candy. But hey, let's do something else.
Something adulty.
Let's do something adulty. I mean, not that I didn't bring my daughter down to Pumpkin Palooza, and she found some really cool stuff, found some gloves and all kinds of things. Got some earrings, got some lip balm, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that next year. And this past summer of 2022, and I literally have to look to the right and remember what year it is some days. But yes, 2022, we had the inaugural docking of Viking Cruise Lines.
Yes, we have been looking forward to that for years and years and years, it seems like.
I don't even remember when the first talks started. I want to say 2016, but that might be, it might have actually been earlier. Because if you're going to build a boat that size, you got to get all your ducks in a row. It's not going to be a one-year thing.
No, not at all. Yeah, that was the, you know, it's, you know, we had all the discussions and all of the things and all of the this and all of the that, and they were finally getting to the point where they were agreeing to it, and then the news came out and going, wait a minute, we went to all this, they haven't built the boat yet? What? What is this? Shouldn't they have a boat if they're going to come? You know, they got to, I mean, call me crazy.
Yeah, there were, and there are things that I don't even try to attempt to understand in terms of, because I don't build boats, nor do I work on a boat, nor do I, you know, nor have I ever worked on a passenger vessel. So I don't know all the rules and regulations federally on to building a boat. And because it was a European company and it had to be built in the U.S., I have no idea
all kinds of the things they had to go through. Make a list, and we'll get Steve Terry in here, and he'll tell us all about it.
And he can tell us some of it.
Some of it, but that's a whole other thing.
And so, but by golly, they came, and it was fantastic.
Oh yeah,
they literally rolled out like a red carpet. They have a big old rug that says Viking Cruise Lines. And it's red, and they have a great big tent, and they have rocking chairs underneath for their people where they can get off.
Their staging
is excellent.
That is a big boat.
It is a
big boat. I have a phrase for that, but of course I keep having to remind myself I'm not under FCC regulations anymore, so I could say what I usually call it. There's a word in between the big and the boat, which you can probably figure out what it is.
Probably like a donkey, except not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, the word is in the Bible, you know. So it makes it proper then. I spend, you know, a minute and a half here describing other than just saying a word. It's a big ass boat.
It's a big ass boat. It really is. Right. It is huge. It's huge. If you go on you can go on Viking's website, you can go on Visit Hannibal's Facebook page. You could look back through old posts and see the boat, you know, of course, the inaugural docking. You have to have pomp and circumstance.
When you have
an inaugural docking, you need the pomp and also the circumstance.
Yes.
I'm not sure which is which. I don't know if having the mayor there is the pomp or the circumstance. However it works, the proclamation, you have the mayor, you have the gifts, you have all of the things.
Tom and Becky.
You've got Tom and Becky,
two or three Mark Twains.
You know, I mean, as needs are, and you have a big welcome, and that was all done, and it was all captured on drone. There's like some great drone footage of Viking docked for the first time because it was a beautiful day. It's fantastic.
Flying squirrel was doing their thing.
You betcha. If you have not seen pictures and you're like, what are they talking? What? I thought, boats have come all the time. This is a different big boat. We love all of our big boats.
All of them.
This is a different looking bird. And by bird, I mean boat.
Yes.
So,
They didn't pretend to try to make this into a stern wheeler, old time riverboaty looking thing.
No, this is a European river cruise liner. And I'll tell you, I haven't got a chance to say this on the podcast because it's been 2.5 years. So one of the benefits to Hannibal for these large riverboats to come, not only do they bring people, which of course we love. We love when passengers get off and they want to explore Hannibal and everything Hannibal has to offer. But these companies have a lot of advertising dollars. A lot of advertising dollars. So one thing that people don't always think about is there's one cruise line in particular. Several of them do it sometimes, but one cruise line in particular will do a full page ad, and they will highlight, say, one of the routes. And so if they highlight the upper Mississippi, of course, there's the little dots where they stop. There's Hannibal.
Yep.
Might have a small picture of downtown or of our riverfront, but there's an entire page to talk about this luxury cruise line and the stops that they feel like it's important enough to make for their demographic, which is You have to have some green to do these.
If you have to ask how much it is, you probably can't afford it.
Bingo.
Yes.
So they do these full-page magazine ads, and if you figure up 1 month, just 1 month, say the May edition of three popular publications like Good Housekeeping, Midwest Living, and Better Homes and Gardens, you're looking at over $700,000 that they have spent in advertising for those three one-page ads.
Mm.
Three.
Mm-mm-mm.
That is more than the annual budget of the Hannibal Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Not that that made an impression
on you. I've got insider information. Don't ask me how I know that.
No.
But to have those types of ads out there, we do nothing but win. Even if people are like, wow, I can't afford to go there, but hey, I could go there. That's not too far away.
Yeah. And that is an excellent point. Even if they can't afford to ride the river, they'll look at the ad and they go, Hannibal, that must be a pretty nice place to go. And let's drive down there and check it out.
This fancy riverboat stops there.
I had never thought of that. That is wonderful.
Many people have not. And you are welcome, podcast audience, because if you had thought of that, I want to hear about it, because I haven't talked to anyone who's thought about it that way.
No, never did, but it makes perfect sense. Yes.
Marketing. It's all about marketing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Wow. Oh, yeah. And, of course, the people, you know, we love it when they come, and we love it when they spend their money, and they mm-hmm. leave their hard-earned dollars here, and then they go somewhere else.
I've had some really interesting conversations with some of the restaurants downtown, because you sometimes hear, well, you know, but they eat on the ship, and they, you know, they have breakfast on the ship, or they go back for lunch, or, you know, this, that, the other thing, which, of course, it's included. And of course, many of them do.
Sure.
What you are forgetting is there are just about as many employees on the boat as there are passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the boat for numerous months at a time working, you get tired of the same menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having the most interesting conversation with the proprietor of the Old Wolfhound Pub. And he said that he knows that if a big boat is in that day, they're going to have a busy day, because the employees will come in mm-hmm. because they want something different.
Yes.
And it might not even be a meal. Maybe they'll just, you know, stop in for a pint or something, but or in like an appetizer.
Sure.
But they will be guaranteed to have people because they're tired of eating, you know, on Tuesdays, it's whatever.
Now, I've heard somewhere along the line that sometimes these ships will need to, at whatever stop they're in, they'll need to, like, get more supplies, that kind of thing. That mm-hmm. that happens as well?
Yes, they take on water here in Hannibal. They usually take on water. And I know that some of the riverboats, I don't know the status, because that's out of my that's out of my wheelhouse, but some of them are looking at purchasing fuel, which would be quite the
yes.
You need a lot of fuel for those boats. We're not talking a bus.
No. This is not. Yeah, this is gallons to the mile. This is not miles to the gallon. No,
yes.
Not at
yes.
all. That's right.
So yeah, they you know, and then they have of course, you know, trash pickup. They've got, you know, they take on entertainers. Entertainers leave. Our very own Richard Gary, our very own Mark Twain.
That's right.
Has performed on the American Cruise Line ships for I don't even know how many years now. Mm-hmm. And he hops on and he'll be with them. Like, they'll have entire Mark Twain themed cruises
mm-hmm.
because no matter how much people get tired of hearing about it in Hannibal, people still really, they honest to goodness, they really do care about Mark Twain still. Mm-hmm. What he did for Hannibal and for the Mississippi River and for just general American Western.
Yeah. And that is a whole thing. There are people who will do that. That's their gig. Like you said, like Richard Geary, like several others. I seem to remember we had this discussion on another episode, and somebody talked about wondering if they could maybe pull off being a Mark Twain on one of these river boats. Somebody I'm sitting across the table from right now. You were talking about that, and I don't think I said so at the time, but later on I'm thinking, hey, if Reba McEntire can pull off Colonel Sanders, then why couldn't Megan pull off Mark Twain? Yeah.
I mean, anything's possible, you know? I mean, hey. The magic of stage makeup and
something.
We'll wait till the kids graduate.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea.
Back to the Hannibal Rivertown Review podcast in just a moment. If you like what you hear, be sure and subscribe and leave us a review. And if you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at rivertownreview@gmail.com.
Speaking of Mark Twain.
I was trying to segue you into this because I feel like it's been about 2.5 years in the making that you've wanted to talk about this.
Well, not quite that long, but it's been a while. And I, as soon as we decided to go ahead and let fly with this again, I'm thinking I gotta talk about this because I have a better understanding because, as you know, one of my favorite of our previous episodes is the one about Val Kilmer.
Where Megan goes postal about Val Kilmer. Yes, that is true. He is still dead to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I've read somewhere here in the last couple of months that he's not well. He's got a lot of health issues.
Yes, he's had a lot of health issues. I mean, I've made my peace. You could probably do the brief synopsis of what we're talking about for the people that haven't heard that podcast.
Yeah, I believe it was 2013. Val Kilmer, of course, was doing his one-man show, Citizen Twain, and was going to be doing some work with Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. Was going to be close by, and so the Mark Twain Museum people said, "Hey, Val Kilmer's been doing Mark Twain. What an opportunity to do a fundraiser for the Boyhood Home and Museum."
Not to mention he's a method actor, so if you're that close to the Mark Twain Boyhood Home, how could you not be there?
Exactly.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
That's right. And Megan, did you have posters of Val Kilmer on your wall when you were growing up?
I was a huge fan of the Batman that he played, which no one hardly ever remembers that he played Batman once upon a time.
Yeah.
He really did. Yeah, I had that VHS tape. Thank you very much.
Ah, yes.
And The Saint. Yep, he was in The Saint.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Okay. So all the arrangements were made for him to commute up to Hannibal, do a fundraiser, tickets were sold, and everything, publicity and the whole shot. And he decided at the last minute, like 2.5 hours before he was supposed to be here, that he wasn't coming because he wasn't feeling it.
A quote. Mm-hmm. He wasn't feeling it.
Of course, the official press releases put a better face on it than that, but that's the bottom line, is the guy stiffed us.
Yes.
Val Kilmer stiffed Hannibal Moe. That's not good. Oh, okay. All right. Now, I have here in the last couple of months, I have developed more of an appreciation for your angst at Val Kilmer, because I have worked up a similar angst myself. I don't have to do a real short version of this, but we'll be as concise as we can. We have been one of those folks who have cut the cable at home. We have gotten away from having your typical dishnet or DirecTV or any of that stuff, and we've gone to the streaming services. And we have become a fan of a lot of not just American TV, the classic TV, but a lot of British TV. We're watching stuff from New Zealand. There was a French cop show that we watched that was in French with English subtitles.
Was it Lupine?
I think so.
Oh, that's great. Yes. We loved that one.
You
didn't even realize it was being subtitled. It was so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And random, but if you haven't seen it, you should look up Lupin.
Yes, and the British, of course, all of the British sitcoms. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Canadian, Corner Gas and all of that. There is a Canadian show called Murdoch Mysteries. It has been on. It's in its, I think, 15th season. It's been on for a long time. It is set in Toronto around the turn of the 20th century. And Professor Detective William Murdoch is a member of the Toronto Constabulary, And of course, he does what detectives do. He solves murders. And to me, one of the cool things about this show is that famous people of that day will pass through Toronto and be involved in whatever case Murdoch is working on at any given time. During the first, we're watching them in order, and we're up to season 9 now.
When would these have been filmed?
This one particular one in question that I'm going to jump up and down about was from 2015.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, still not like from the 80s.
But, no, not so, at all. No, it's fair.
So plus you get to use the word
constabulary.
Constabulary, yes.
They were coppers. That's the inspector is Scottish, so he used the word coppers. But for Murdoch, it's the constabulary. But anyhow, they have famous people of the day come through. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle has come through. Harry Houdini, Thomas Edison Jr., Alexander Graham Bell, a young Winston Churchill. They even had a vaudeville show come through with a young juggler named W.C. Fields. So they've had these people, and they've had other people that I had when anytime they have a particular name of a person, character come through, and I haven't heard of them, I look them up. They've had the lady who was the first Canadian woman to be a practicing attorney. They've had a young girl. There was a show about suffrage in Canada, and there was a young girl who was an admirer of the ladies who were doing this. And I looked her up, and she was the first Canadian member of the House of Commons. So that kind of thing. And
like a who's who at the turn of the century.
Exactly. And in watching these shows, I wondered, I'm going, around the turn of the 20th century, I wonder if a certain guy in a white suit might have passed through Toronto at some point. And so I looked ahead, and sure enough, there was an episode, season 9, episode 2, called Marked, M-A-R-K-E-D, Marked Twain. And I looked to see who they would have gotten to play Mark Twain. No, it was not Hal Holbrook. No, it was not even Richard Gere or Jim Waddell or even Val Kilmer. Hold on to your hats, folks. William Shatner, Captain Kirk, as Mark Twain. I'm going, please God, no. That's kind of what you said when I was telling you about that for the first time.
After I stopped laughing, because it's like, it was William Shatner as Mark Twain. I mean, you can't not do those weird pauses like Captain Kirk did.
That's right. But and I read some articles that they were talking about this episode, and it sounded like it was just one of these things where the producers of Murdoch Mysteries, of course, William Shatner is Canadian, mm-hmm. and so wouldn't it be cool to find some way to get William Shatner to do a guest spot on our show? Wouldn't that be the coolest thing to play Mark Twain? And again, in the article, William Shatner, he acknowledges that he says, Mark Twain was a tall, slender guy. William Shatner is not tall and slender. He is short and squatty. And he acknowledged this. And I forget exactly what he said to kind of rationalize this miscarriage against, all things Twain. But something about, it's about the interpretation. It's not about being an impersonator. It was William Shatner with a bushy mustache is what it was. And a little bit of a hint of a Southern accent. That was his Mark Twain. There was no, have you actually gone through and watched the episode?
I haven't. I've looked up a couple of the YouTube clips that you sent me, and I don't know if I can sit through the whole thing. I'm not sure that I can handle it.
The historical things that came out during the course of the episode, you would probably know more about that than I would. But he talked about his wife, he talked about Olivia, and the reason he I'm not going to sit here and talk about the entire episode, but the upshot, there's this big good old boy men's club called the Empire Club in Toronto, and Murdoch's boss and was being nominated to be a member of this Empire. That's one of the cigars and that kind of a club. And so one of they were meeting for a reception, and it was a big secret they had brought in a special guest speaker, and don't keep us in suspense, who is this and that kind of thing. And finally they introduced, it was Mark Twain. Of course, at that time, Canada was a proud member of the British Empire. And as soon as Mark Twain appeared on stage, that he was going to be the speaker, a good many of the members of the Empire Club went into orbit, because he was not a big fan of monarchies in general.
No, he had a few things to say about the Boer Wars and just monarchy in general.
Imperialism. So there were people that were just jumping up and down, and at that point, as any good detective show will as it will say in the detective novels, at that point a shot rang out. So it appeared that somebody had taken a shot at Mark Twain, and they go from there. But he talked about needing these kind of speaking engagements because he was broke. Mm-hmm. And his wife was dying, and so
she died in 1904.
Mm-hmm. So this would have been about 02, somewhere in there, 02, 03. So yeah,
and he did go bankrupt twice. So
and he talked at length about that. Yeah, so that, as far as that part of it is concerned,
there we go.
But the guy made no effort to even bear any resemblance to Mark Twain. Hal Holbrook is spinning. Of course, he was still alive at this point, but if he hadn't been, which he isn't now, he would be spinning in his grave at this. So there it is.
The shot wasn't rung out because it was William Shatner playing Mark Twain.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
No. It turned out he was the person who did the shooting was actually shooting at somebody else, but I don't want to give the whole thing away for those who are just going, I got to go watch that show.
Yeah. Exactly. I've got to go see this travesty of Twain of Twain impersonation. Although not impersonation, what did he call it? The essence of, I don't know.
It was his interpretation.
Yes.
Yes. It was
this
not
travesty
it was not
new, of interpretation.
And the thing of it is that he was like nominated for some Canadian TV awards for this guest appearance on this show.
That's like being nominated for like a BAFTA or like one of those Scottish media award. I mean, there's like three shows to choose from. Come on.
That's right.
I mean, the one thing that the United States can do is churn out entertainment.
I saw that and I'm going, oh, please. And as a matter of fact, we watched it. I had watched it a few months ago when I first found this out, but then we went back and watched it last night.
To get fired up for the podcast.
Absolutely. In the interview years ago I did with Hal Holbrook, he said he didn't watch a lot of news or anything, didn't watch a lot of TV until he got to where he was going to do a Mark Twain Tonight performance. Then he'd watch the news and it would make him so mad that he would be ready to get out there and do Mark Twain Tonight. So
I remember when I went to, I believe it was Columbia, when he was performing. And, of course, there's the intermission. And what do you do during the intermission? You go and visit, the necessary. And it was during an election year. Don't ask me what election year. I believe it was during an election year. And so a lot of his thing, was political. But Holbrook did Twain, obviously. He didn't add his own spin.
No, it was everything he said, Twain said.
Came out of the man's mouth who died in 1910. Mm-hmm. And the discussion from some of the little ladies and in line were, I thought we were going to be hearing Mark Twain. I didn't know we were going to be getting political commentary. Honey, you're getting political commentary from beyond the grave, which just goes to show you that not much has changed.
Not much has changed in all those years. That's right. Okay, so there we go. Like I said, now I can truly identify with how you feel about Val Kilmer. I got it for William Shatner. So there you go. I feel much better now.
I'm glad you were able to share, you know, to share with the audience, mm-hmm. the angst of
yes.
seeing William Shatner try to pull off America's greatest humorist and author.
Some would say America's first stand-up comic. I've heard him referred to as that by some people. Yeah.
So, I have not heard that before.
Somebody said that.
Maybe it's something with Star Trek characters going on to do random things with famous authors, because Spock...
Leonard Nimoy
had that weird record. He did a record from based on J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
Where he sings.
Oh.
YouTube it. I'm wanting to say that was in like the 70s, maybe, or late 70s. So maybe William Shatner decided, hey, you're going to take a stab at J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm going to be Mark Twain.
That's right.
Highly doubt it, but there's a tie somewhere.
Right? It's got to be. And we talked a long, long time ago about, Mark Twain showed up in one of the Star Trek.
Next Generation.
Yeah, Next Generation. Yeah.
In the Hollow Deck. On the Hollow Deck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a connection there, but please, Lord.
But we prefer it not be William Shatner playing Mark Twain.
Let's
keep them separate.
Because it's not Mark Twain. It's not somebody trying to be Mark Twain. It's William Shatner in a bushy mustache.
You know, I feel like this has turned into a bit of a Mark Twain Comic-Con podcast, which I think is a great way to round it up is to remind people that we have a Comic-Con in Hannibal.
Yes, we do. In April?
In April, in the spring.
Yep. Yes.
In April, we have the Big River Comic-Con. We can't guarantee William Shatner's going to be there.
I can tell you, for those of you who are professional wrestling fans, you know the name of Sergeant Slaughter, and he is going to be at the 2023 Big River Comic-Con.
Yes. Mm-hmm. April 14th and 15th in 2023. Sorry if you're listening in the fall of 2023. You missed it. We'll stop talking about it, but it's probably going to be happening next year anyway. So, they do cosplay and gaming and all that kind of stuff. So I bet if you wanted to really just vent your spleen about Mark Twain being played by William Shatner, there would be somebody else there who would be equally... As aggrieved.
Yeah, that's the word. Aggrieved. Yeah. He would not have even placed if he had we just got done with Mark Twain's birthday celebration and they have the mustache contest. Mm-hmm. William Shatner would not have placed at all in that mustache contest. No. That's one of the things I miss about the radio is that Melissa Cummins wasn't able to come on the radio and give me heck for not getting into the mustache contest this year. Thank goodness. No, that's not idea. We love Melissa, but anyhow.
But it's a fun, it's a fun thing to do to remember Mark Twain's birthday, which is November 30th. So
that's right. Yeah. So we have done. We're doing good far time wise. There's really not much else to say. We thank you for putting up with this. We have missed just sitting here and just batting the breeze about. Things that come to mind that hopefully have, you're entertained by, Hannibal. Informed by, all things Hannibal.
We'll get some guests back on. Don't you worry. We started the first podcast by compiling a list on air of people we want to have back.
So
got any recommendations? Always post them on the socials.
Yes. We are on Facebook. You can make comments on podbean.com. You can do that. And there are any number of places. We thank you so much for joining us for the Hannibal Rivertown Review Podcast. I'm Harold Smith.
And I'm Megan Rapp.
And we will see you next time.